What is up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Crosstown Chatter. I'm your host, Colin Winston, here alongside my co-host, Connor Bowles. Here is episode 14 coming at you. We're going to dive into the struggles of Chicago's ball clubs, to put it lightly. But before we do that, we'll talk a little bit about our first segment outside of Chicago. And Angel Hernandez, we've heard his name talked about a couple times throughout this podcast. And if you're on social media, he's kind of everywhere right now, reminiscing the good old times. Infamous retired now umpire Angel Hernandez is officially done of his umpiring duties. And it's safe to say that the baseball world is very happy about this. I've heard a couple different people talk on the radio about his overall performance. Some other umpires have reached out saying and kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt. Even Joe West said something along the lines of, hate him or love him, he's good at what he does. And just ironic coming
from another pot calling the kettle black.
Exactly. Somebody in the comment section said, oh, look at Joe West making another bad call. So, yeah, I think White Sox Twitter, Cubs Twitter is finally hand in hand right now, talking about how relieved they are to see Angel Hernandez out of this league. I even heard one guy go on a rant this morning on the radio talking about how he was so bad that he believes he should have some of his penchant revoked because of his lack of performance on the baseball field.
I agree.
And this is coming from a union mailman or something like that. So
he was fucking, well, he was an ump for like 20 something years. Like, I don't know how he survived that long.
Yeah, I think a lot of it had to do with that discrimination case.
And dude, he fucking lost. Who loses a discrimination case?
Yeah.
Those are fucking easy to win. And then they just said, no, look, he sucks. And they're like, oh, MLB's right.
Yeah, essentially that is what happened. But I think after that, they felt like they had to keep him around after that, which doesn't make sense because if they lose and then, or if he loses, then it's clearly not discrimination. And it's based on a lack of skill. Like, granted, being an umpire, especially in the MLB, is a very difficult occupation because people expect you to be 100% all the time. Everybody knows you're not going to, but this guy was just, it was just a little bit too blatantly obvious that of how bad he was. And so it was just kind of a surprise to see how long he's lasted, and even more of a surprise that he's gone halfway through the season. So
I think it was like, hey, your time's done here, bucko. It's either retire or lose your pension.
It might have been that one call. It was like a Blue Jays game. I think playing the Yankees.
Where he called you struck someone out when there wasn't a single fucking strike called.
That, and I think and nobody was on, but it would have been a balk if somebody was on base. And then he like stepped off the mound, stepped back on through. It was a ball high, and he rang him up. And that was like one of the deciding factors in the game. And it was just a super bad call. Like, as far as bad calls go, it actually made up on one of his top ones on his list. But, it's just kind of, you hate to talk bad about somebody who just retired.
Oh, I don't. I love doing it. Fuck him.
Yeah. So hopefully he has a good retirement far, far away from any baseball field. But yeah, that's probably one of the biggest headlines.
Fuck Joe West, CB Buckner, we're coming for you next, fucker. And then the world will be right.
That is what a lot of people are saying. It's like, all right, who's the next worst?
CB Buckner, he's on my hit list. Joe West 2 years ago, Angel Hernandez, CB, I'm coming for you.
Yeah, it's people are on the chopping block now. But speaking of bad calls, let's go right into this Cubs game that just probably got done. This is currently Tuesday night that we are recording. We wanted to wait until after this game, and good thing we did, because it was kind of a nail biter for a while there.
It was. Ben Brown looked fucking phenomenal. I don't have it on me right now, but I think 7 innings pitched, 2 walks, no hits, 10 strikeouts. So, in my opinion, you know, that's the type of performance what he got put back in the rotation 1 game ago, or I guess 2 games ago now. And I mean, I feel like that's like what did he do? What was the stat I saw on the broadcast today? It was like, he's only the third pitcher since – I'm going to quiz you on this. You ready? The third – it's nothing like some old-timey names. He was the third pitcher since 1901 to go 7-plus no-hit innings with 10-plus strikeouts. The other two ended in no-hitters. Can you name the other two? One of them's obvious.
Since 1901?
Since 1901, I'll give you a hint. Both the pitchers was after 2000. It was in this century.
21st century. Ended in a perfect game.
No. No hitter. Sorry.
Just a no hitter? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
7-plus innings, 0 hits, 10-plus strikeouts. One of them's obvious. Like, obvious.
I feel like I'm blanking right now.
Just think back to the Cubs run.
Arrieta.
Yep.
All right. That's pretty good.
I'll give you another hint for the other one.
Give me the team.
Like year?
Just the team.
The Cubs.
They were all in the Cubs?
Yeah, it was just 2 Cubs pitchers, not like all time, just Cubs pitchers.
Oh wow. Oh, okay. Wasn't Lester.
No, it was before Lester's time. I'll give you that little snippet.
Zambrano.
Yes, sir.
Wow, look at this guy.
Zambrano, Arrieta, and now Ben Brown. Wow. But I understand why Ben Brown didn't go the full 9. It was only his second start back. He did throw 93 innings pitches. And I honestly, part of me thinks that if like we had like a 5-6-0 lead, I think we maybe throw him out there for the 8th. Maybe. But I also know that, like, you know, Jordan Wicks is getting ramped up now. They said he had a rehab outing today. They're going to have another one, maybe another 2. They want to make sure this forearm strain is behind him. But, man, I think with what Ben Brown did today and has been doing basically except for that his debut, I think he deserves a spot in the rotation. I get he's been a dog in the bullpen, but, like, today was kind of like a fuck. Like, he did something only 3 Cubs pitchers has done. Since 1901, he's 23 years old. 23 years old, going against a really good offense away. Like, and I get it. Like, they want to be careful because I think they do see Ben Brown as a big part of their future. You know, after this year, I think he got, 5 years of control left because he did lose his rookie eligibility already, which is great. Or not rookie eligibility, but prospect eligibility. So you got 5 more years of him after this. He's going to be a huge part of this rotation moving forward. No doubts about that. So I'm just curious to see how they go about it, because this is the type of guy where it's like, man, like, yeah, he's a really good reliever and he's really good out of the bullpen and he stabilizes your bullpen when you need it. Honestly, I think he's one of those guys where you could see him being a future fucking closer if he wanted to, but I think he's more valuable as a starting pitcher for this team.
We talked about him a few different times now. I feel like we definitely talk about him on average every other week, which is honestly a good thing. I feel like if we're talking about you on this podcast, it's either going to be a really good thing or a really bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time in Ben Brown's case, it's been a really good thing.
Yeah.
I've seen him pitch in person and it's pretty electric. And I think as he grows into the pitcher that he's going to be, I think we're going to see a lot more of this. I think it's almost hinting at what I guess his potential could be in the next few years. But I don't think this is going to be a guy where you guys are going to get rid of. I don't think you're going to use him.
Barstool Carl tweet the fucking dumbest goddamn thing ever today.
Yeah.
And they were like, do we trade Ben Brown for a haul? No is the answer to that. You do not trade pitchers with options this young, this early.
No.
Like, unless you are getting a bona fide star. Bona fide star.
One of them. Like,
one of them. I'm 50-50 shot. Like, and like, even then, it's like, what are you going to get for him?
Like, I don't know. His value would be too hard to say.
Exactly. And it's, like, and it's also like, is like, because there's going to be questions. Is this sustainable? Is it, you know, like, where is he going to fit? You know, there's a reliever risk there, which even though, you know, a good reliever has a lot of value, but obviously a fucking 23-year-old starting pitching who has number two, number three upside, much more valuable than that. So it's like, and I saw that tweet and I was just like, man, I just don't think the Cubs are in a position to do that. It's not like we have five Ben Browns.
You know, it's like also one of the best and worst things about baseball. Sorry to cut you off there, but it's just like, when you got to go out there every day and prove to pretty much everybody, not only just your team coaches, but it's just the entire MLB and all the fans about what you can do every day when you step on the field. And going back to the best and worst thing, if you do good, like seven innings pitched, no hit good, your stock rises immensely. Yeah. And now, hypothetically speaking, if you want to talk about trade value, then you go to these teams and be like, hey, this guy just no hit the Brewers, who are really good. So what are you going to give me for him?
Yeah.
So you can kind of leverage what a guy has been doing or some of his good stints. And you can also say that about his bad stints or any given player's bad stints. And kind of assess accordingly. But I wouldn't say this is a guy that you want to trade at all.
Like, I guess, like, the big question, like, when I saw that tweet was, like, what the fuck are we going to get? Like, what do we want for him? Prospects? We have the number one system in baseball. Number one, yeah, or number two, depending on who you ask.
That's true.
Right? Right? That's the reality of it. It's either number one or number two. We have eight top 100, or I guess seven top 100 prospects now, because PCA technically graduated, even though I still view him as a prospect. PCA technically graduated, so we have seven top 100 prospects. We have another three or four guys that theoretically could be top 100 prospects at the end of this year, and another probably five after that that are in a couple of years could easily hit that ceiling, just because they're so young. They're like 16, 17 years old from the Dominican Republic or Puerto Rico, wherever. So, like, we have a stacked fucking farm system. Like, what yeah, are we, like, what are we going to do here? Like at some point, we have to use our prospects and buy something. If we're going to be like, hey, Ben Brown's expandable because we have Cade Horton in the minors, we have Jordan Wicks, we have Javier Assad, we have Tyone Steele, Shota Imanaga, we have these guys that will stay, like, that's fine. But if you're going to do that, you don't use Ben Brown to go get prospects. You use Ben Brown to go get a fucking stud that has a couple yeah, years of, you use Ben Brown to go get a Luis Roberts. You use Ben Brown to go get, I'm not even going to say Mason Miller, whatever fucking player out there that can help this offense. That's yeah, the reality with multiple years of control. If you're going to deal him. I just think like, oh, get a prospect haul. Well, he was a prospect like literally like 2 weeks ago is when yeah, he lost it. So I just don't know if the risk is worth the reward of what he could be, because if he ends up being a number two or three starter and he's making $700,000 a year, that value is immense. It's insane. And then you give yeah, him a contract. Let's say he does well for 2-3 years. You give him a nice contract extension, buy him out of those 3 years, and you're still paying him pennies on the fucking dollar.
That's true.
You know, you're still going to, you know, if you extend a guy and you buy out his arbitration years, he's not going to get the highest AAV, right?
And I honestly think you're going to see a lot of these pitchers their actual value, their money value, kind of go down a little bit just because of all the injuries. I feel like it's kind of going to start turning into a pretty hesitant buy, in my opinion, because you look at all these top, really good, hard-throwing pitchers that are now going out on the injured list. And it's like, well, why are we going to pay all this money for, yes, they might be really talented ball players, but if they're going to get hurt in the next year or two and then be out for half the next year or even more than that, God forbid they have to get Tommy John or what have you, like that's a huge risk, you know?
And because pitching and pitching, here's the thing, trading pitching's tough. Because contending teams want pitching, right? Not bad teams. Now, Ben Brown's that weird case where he's got 5+ years of control after this year. So you could give it to a team who theoretically they're like, oh, I'm like, oh, I think I'm 2-3 years away from competing. This guy could help us. And we got this young, you know, not young star, but a young star who's good with 2 years or 3 years of control. Let's trade him 1-for-1. That's possible, unlikely. That it lines up that way. But, like, his strikeout stuff's so good that, like, if we were to trade – if you had to make me choose between Ben Brown, Cade Horton, and Jordan Wicks, I'd probably say Jordan Wicks is on the chopping block. Like, not like he's going to get traded, but, like, if you had to make me pick right now, I'd probably go Jordan Wicks. And I love Jordan Wicks. I think he's got a bright future ahead of him. But if you said you had to trade one of them, I think because, like – he generates so many whiffs. He generates so many strikeouts. He's just so fucking good.
I want to dive into a little bit of potential trades because if you don't count the game that just happened tonight, I think Cubs fans were starting to get, and still might be, a little bit nervous about contention. And a lot of guys on Twitter are saying, you know, trade this guy, DFA this guy. And, like not selling the house, but trying to get that X factor player that could rejuvenate this offense. And some of the names that have been thrown out there is like trade Belly, which is super surprising to me. Send down Bush immediately. And you kind of did call this, you texted me this. Am I crazy for wanting PCA in center field and moving Belly to first base? And now this is becoming a more realistic possibility. And I think May 30th is when PCA is able to be eligible to come back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if they do try and move some things around. But as far as trades go, I don't really know who you would want to trade right now.
I think Danny Jensen from the Blue Jays would be a great ad.
Yeah.
The catcher, he's a rental. I saw some dipshit on Twitter. They were like, trade Danny Jensen for Trianto straight up. And I'm like, dude, like, no one in their right mind is trading a top 100 prospect for a rental. Like, it doesn't even, does not have to, like, I don't care how good you are. Like Shohei Ohtani might have been able to get a top 100 prospect, maybe. And then a couple of lottery tickets. But, like, I think, like, you can realistically trade – what did Condelario – remember we grabbed Condelario last year? I think what we gave up Kevin Maid and DJ Hurst. DJ Hurst hurts because he was so fucking filthy, but again, a big if. A lot of reliever risk there. And Kevin Maid, same deal. Like, if he took off, he was a borderline top 100 prospect. Not when we traded him, but like I think we could trade someone, and our farm system's better now than it was last year at the deadline. Somehow, that's insane turnaround. But I think we can realistically like get him for like a prospect in that 15-20 range, like an Alexis Hernandez, or I don't know if I'd trade Christian Hernandez. There's too much upside there, but like one of those types of guys, like a Jackson Wiggins, or you know, somewhere like along those lines. But like I think catching's got to be a focus.
You know what actually is another name that's been circling is still Pete Alonso.
I don't want him. He sucks. He sucks this year. I really don't want him because the Mets are going to ask for the world. You're not going to sign him to an extension because he's a Boris client. So it's just like And I was one of the guys last year at the trade deadline, hope praying to fucking God we were going to get him. But that's just because our first – and I still believe in Bush. Like, Bush is still putting up okay numbers, like, as a whole. Like, obviously, it's being propped up a little bit on that five-home run run he made back in, what, April now? But, like, he's – like, today he hit a home run, had a single. Like, he has okay defense at first base. So, like, for me, I'm okay with Bush, but, like, he might just need more time to adjust. Like, yeah, he gave up a decent prospect package for him.
Yeah, I kind of agree that you need to give him a little bit more time. I did hear that since that five home run game stretch, he was hit before this game. He was hitting like 180-something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was like a 270-something OPS. And it's like, yeah, that might not be that great on paper, but you also got to think like, hey, this guy also hit five home runs in five games. So
it's there.
There's not too many guys that can just do that anyways. And then this guy actually proved that he could do that. So he's still a rookie. He's going to have his ups and downs. And he's
if the White Sox can give Andrew fucking Vaughn the runway that they've given him, I think the Cubs can give Michael Bush a year or two to figure it out. Because first base is one of those, like, who says Morel doesn't just shift over there, you know? Like, eventually. Like, I don't know, there's so many, like, first, and this is coming from a first baseman. Like, first base is, it's expendable. Like,
over to first base? Ooh. Luis Arraez.
Yeah, it's weird.
Cronenworth and Luis Arraez have switched.
Yeah, the Padres are on
San Diego, and it's kind of working.
They got Bogarts at third, and who did they trade for? They traded for a shortstop, didn't they? The shortstop?
They got Bogarts or Manny at short, Machado, and then third. Manny Machado Bogarts at third.
Yeah, that's a weird infield, man. They got Fernando in center field. That's fucking weird,
right,
man.
Field. They got Jackson Merrill in center.
I would take if they want to give us Fernando. I'll take Fernando. I'll take him in that contract all day. I think the Cubs as a whole, I was going to rant and then the Cubs won, so I feel a little bit lighthearted today instead of heavy-hearted. So I'm going to save the rant for an extra rainy day.
I really wish they lost today so that we could have wrath.
It would have been 30 minutes of me just screaming to myself. It'll happen. It'll happen this year.
It'll still happen.
It falls on a day, I'm not having a good day, and it's just they're going to hear my wrath.
Well, let me ask you this before we transition over to the Southsiders. Are you worried at all as a whole about the Cubs right now?
No, and there's only one reason why I'm not worried. Only one reason. Last year, the Cubs had like an almost identical skid with the offense at an identical time of the year. Like from May 2nd to like June 3rd, they just like did not hit at all in May. And then the offense picked it up. Now, if this continues into mid-June, into July, yeah. Like I might even be hammering for sell. And just to kind of revamp, I know you mentioned earlier, trade Cody Bellinger. Yeah, he has zero trade value. I'll tell you that right fucking now.
Yeah, I agree.
He has zero trade value. He's making $27 million a year. He's got options on those years, so he can opt out at the end of the year. Trading players that have player options is an impossible task because you just don't know if they're going to opt in. And if they opt in, is it because they're doing bad? If they opt out, is it because – you know what I mean? There's so much ifs there that the value, and especially the money that's attached to him, right? If he's making $10 million a year – yeah, he'd get a nice fucking package, but he's not going to go for anything like what was rumored was going to go for last year. So I just wanted to nip that in the ass.
Yeah, just to reiterate, I mean, you kind of made a lot of sense there talking about, okay, if you're going to trade, what are you going to get? And if it's prospects, why? Like, why get the prospect route? Yeah, if you don't need it, you're going to be giving away your quote unquote star players that you were waiting for them to get back. And now you want to get rid of them. So I think if you guys do trade, you have to utilize that farm system, get some crucial big name players that can totally revamp the at-bats and kind of pick it back up a little bit. But I would agree. I wouldn't be too nervous. I think we're about a third of the way through the season, so you're starting to think about the later half of the season. But
yeah,
if it's similar to last year, then you're just going to have to hope and pray that it can be a little bit better and so that you don't lose by one game.
Well, the difference as well is that, like, you know, we're like, oh, the Cubs suck. Their offense is broke, but they're still one game above 500. Like, one solid run of like a 20, 25 game stretch, and all of a sudden they're in the driver's seat. Like, so once that offense can start clicking with this fucking pitching, like, we're looking at a dangerous team. Like, dangerous. But I will say my last point on the Cubs here is if they miss playoffs, this season was an absolute failure. So
Last. That definitely was the goal in the beginning of the season and should be the goal for every season, but especially now with the players that you do have. Just, I don't know why it popped in my head, but I think one of the players that needs to make a 180 is Dansby Swanson.
100%. He's fucking, he's ass right now.
Terrible.
He's just
absolutely
brutal.
Terrible. Like, I'd be interested to see how many strikeouts he has lately. Defensively, I've seen a couple booted balls. So just all around, your star shortstop needs to absolutely pick it up.
I agree. He needs to wake up. Deshaun, I was talking about Deshaun today. He made an interesting point. He's like, do you think we should sit him for a couple games and let Luis Vasquez start at short for a couple games? And originally, at first I said no. I was like, we're paying this guy $25 million a year. You better fucking produce. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of thought about it, and I was like, well, we did that with Seiya last year, and it worked out pretty well. So I'm not against it. I'm not against sitting Dansby for like 2-3 games, just letting him, you know, recollect, let Luis see what he got in Luis Vasquez, and just go from there. But
we'll see what Council wants to do. It did seem like he has done a little bit of overcoaching lately, so you never know what he might pull out of his hat. But let's transition over to the White Sox real quick. Just talk about just the pitiful outcome that the White Sox have been dealing with right now. They have lost their last, what will be, 11 games out of 12. The last game they won was that last game they won 5-0 against the Toronto Blue Jays last week, and then have lost every single game, including tonight, which they are currently in the bottom of the ninth, losing 7-2. They're in a rain delay right now. It's raining in Chicago. Who knows if they'll pick it back up. Might just want to call this one a wrap and go to bed. I'm sure Jerry's tired. So, but they have, I've also looked, they've only had, this is now out of 56 games, they've only had 3 games where they've scored over 6 runs. 3 games.
Three
or four, yeah.
Holy shit.
Every other game, they've had 6 or less runs. And to top it all off, the other day, we got no hit through 8 innings. And then Danny Mendick comes in, pinch hitting, and hits a home run to break up the no-hitter and the shutout. But other than that, no one had a hit. No one. None of the starters had a hit. So, I know we like to talk about dogs of the week, and I was just kind of doing a little bit of research, and I found one guy who might be able to kind of fit this description, but everyone else is still batting under 300. Tommy Pham is the closest one at like 293, if you don't count my guy. And I guess we can go right into dogs of the week with Corey Jolks. just picked this guy up. I think he's been doing awesome relative to the rest of the team. But he's currently batting 321 with a 977 OPS. Plays a really good outfield. He has a pretty solid approach. I think he's got a home run already and I think three RBIs.
How many at-bats?
He has 28 at-bats.
It's not bad. Small sample size, but
yeah,
that'll
couple
play.
Of stolen bases as well. So he is the only one that seems to actually be playing baseball right now. I mean, there's really not a whole lot to talk about with this White Sox right now, and it's so disappointing. And Pedro Grifol said, quote unquote, "I think they came out fucking flat today when they got no hit through eight." And some of the guys in the clubhouse kind of disagreed with him, tried to make it excuses, saying like, "Oh, they played a lot of hard teams, a lot of hard games, like it's been a long stretch, blah, 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 blah." And then Pedro Grifol today doubled down, literally said the words "doubled down" on his statement, saying, you know, they're going to have their opinions, I'm going to have mine, and it's not going to be a Grifol versus the team type thing. It's just, it is what it is, and that's the way he feels. But at the same time, it's like, okay, what are you doing to fix this? What are you doing?
If they're fucking flat, it's like, go inspire them. Go fucking pump them up. Go get ejected. Go do something.
Something. It's like no emotion. You're just now you're bitching about the team. It's like there's plenty of other people in the city of Chicago that can bitch about your team. You shouldn't be the person that is going to do that. You have to take a little bit of accountability. And the lineup that you put together, I actually screenshotted it because I thought it was kind of interesting. I think it could have gone either way, but it went the wrong way. The first thing that you see on this lineup is Tommy Pham DHing, leading off. Why do we have to do that? Why do we have to take away his defense in center field and then have him lead off at DH? And then you have Vaughn Sheets. Jolks already at cleanup. So you're already putting this rookie in a cleanup position. And then you go with Corey Lee, Ramos, Lopez, Remillard, who I liked for a while, and then he's made a lot of mistakes on the base pass. So, and he hasn't hit really for power at all. And then Fletcher got called up, and that was with Crochet pitching. Crochet did awesome that game. He had no earned runs through six innings, and then that, or through five innings, and then in the sixth inning, he gave up two runs. That's it. So before that game, he had 19 scoreless innings in a row. So that means he had 24 scoreless innings straight and then gave up a couple runs. I mean, what else can you ask for this guy?
Nothing. I mean, that's just dominant.
And then you throw together a random-ass lineup like that. It's like, okay, now you're not helping anybody out. You're not helping your starting pitcher out. And I think the hitting coach needs to be talked to a little bit. I think you maybe should stop having optional practices. I don't know. Do something.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think Pedro and Jerry had a little discussion, in my opinion, and that just kind of seems what it's. I think his time's over once the end of the year's here. I think it's good as done, and I think he knows it, and I think he's trying to play scapegoat now and be like, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
It's the team, which I think is a terrible way to go about it, but I don't know. It's a tough situation with
it's
him.
It's so tough.
Because he comes out flat every day, it seems. Like, there's no – like, there's nothing. There's nothing there. Like, it's just kind of like
– And he did show a little bit of emotion in one of these games last week. There was a – there was a controversial call that the MLB actually came out and said, hey, this actually was the wrong call. This game shouldn't have ended like this. And it was bottom of the ninth.
He is right. He is right, by the way.
Yeah. It was the bottom of the ninth, and there was one out, second and third. I think we were down like two or three runs. But still, we were being aggressive in the last inning. And I think it was Benintendi that hit a pop fly in the infield. So already it should be automatic out, infield fly rule, right? Well, Gunnar Henderson playing towards the middle. Well, everybody was looking up, reading this pop fly, say he can catch it. Andrew Vaughn was drifting back towards the base in his baseline, and Gunnar Henderson brushed past Andrew Vaughn. And they called Andrew Vaughn out, plus the infield fly out, and that ends the game.
Yeah, I saw that clip when it happened, and actually MLB came out and said that it should not have been ruled interference.
Right.
And the game should not have ended. So, yeah, that was bullshit.
And so he showed a little bit of emotion, but, like, yeah, everybody showed a little bit of emotion. That's kind of what you're supposed to do. I'm not going to give you a pat on the back for going out there and trying to dispute the call, because that's what, for one, you're supposed to do. I think you should do it more often. You should do something more often.
At least to inspire the team.
Something.
You know? Like,
he says that the team, the clubhouse, still has a decent morale in
no, they don't. He behind lost
closed doors.
After he said they came out fucking flat, he lost them.
Yeah. As soon as your players start disagreeing with you with the reporters, there's got to be something going
on. And there's a way to go about that, I feel, as a manager. Be like, yeah, they came out fucking flat. I wish I could have done something. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, he was like kind of acting more pouty. Then I guess like he might have should have been. He definitely could have handled that differently, but he didn't say that he could have handled it differently. I think he's kind of owning what he said. So in fact, he doubled down on it. He said that. So
interesting move, Cotton.
Yeah, but let's talk about your dog of the week. I just kind of listed mine. Small sample size to choose from, but
yeah, I mean, there's basically no one. So I was debating today, earlier today, before Ben Brown's start, it was going to be Ian Happ. A couple homers this week. He's been hitting. He hit a double today. It was pretty nice, actually. But I mean, Ben Brown's got to be my dog of the week. You go seven plus no hit innings. And I know we had a long segment about him, so I won't keep this very long at all. But you know, you go seven plus innings, 10 plus or 10 strikeouts, no hits. I mean, you're getting dog of the week every week if you're performing like that. So Ben Brown is the Cubs dog of the week.
Love that. Who else? No, who else but Ben Brown? But
Ben Brown, the dog.
That's good. I guess we can go into our last segment briefly, talk about Prospect Weekly. Yeah, you want to start us off there?
On the Cubby side?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt Shaw back. He's back. He had a home run 2 days ago. He had another home run today. He's been struggling other than the first week or two of the season when he was just absolutely torching the league. It seems like he's adjusting, which is good, right? I said it before on this podcast, and I'll keep beating it with a hammer. You want to make sure that these guys struggle in the minors, and when they get to the majors, there's not all this pressure on them. There's not all this, oh my God, I'm struggling, I'm not good enough. It's, nope, I've been here before. I've struggled before. I can adjust, right? Same goes for Cade Horton. Right now, you look at his ERA in AAA, it's disgusting. You look at the peripherals, it actually looks pretty good. So again, like, got to let these guys marinate a little bit in the minors. Let them struggle. Let them, you know, adjust. That's like a big thing to me, is not just, you know, dominating the minors, but it's, hey, when you face adversity, what do you do? So guys like Matt Shaw and Cade Horton, and Cade Horton just ran into bad luck, really. But I believe tomorrow is Cade Horton
Kate Horton Day. So Matt Shaw, dog, PCA. I want to discuss him a little bit. He got sent down last week, a little over last week, and he's just been scorching AAA, just dominating. I don't know if you saw this, but I've got the pitcher's name, but he's like a 10-year major leaguer. And he was pitching against PCA in AAA, and he threw two balls behind PCA, like one behind his back and one like up behind his head. And then the Iowa Cubs manager came out and threw a fucking fit and got ejected. And then the next next pitch, PCA went absolutely fucking yard and hit a nuke over 400 feet and had an epic bat flip, was chirping, rounding the bases, fucking started hitting his head when he got the home. It was fucking awesome. It was there. It was like one of those moments where like you think it's scripted, like from a movie.
I did,
you know,
see
that. It wasn't like a walk off or anything, but like it was fucking awesome. And he's had like three homers since he's been back, a couple doubles, some awesome base running, stellar defense. He actually won the what league is that? I think it's the International League Player of the Week. All of AAA for International League. So
that's awesome. That's a huge thing to win right there.
Yeah. So for him to get that award is nice, at least for the week. So PCA graduated, as I mentioned earlier, which means Drew Gray enters the Cubs top 10 prospects.
Oh, wow.
And so that's a fun one. He's a third round pick from 2020 out of high school. So that's a fun name. He's got some high strikeout stuff. He might need another year to just mature, but he's in high A. He'll probably get to call to double A later in the year, but he's been doing really well in high A. And speaking of new names on new lists, or I guess in this case, old names on new lists, Brennan Davis, former, did I talk about him last week?
Maybe briefly, or maybe you wanted to talk about him this week.
Oh, I'm going to go into it anyways, because he's back. So Brennan Davis, he was a top 100 prospect, but back in, he was drafted second round 2018, got onto the top 100 prospect list 2019, and I think he was as high as like 13 or 14 at one point on the all of prospects. Dealt with COVID year, a couple injuries, fell off the Cubs top 30 list completely. He's now a whole 24 years old in triple A, and he has over 1,000 OPS right now, which is awesome. I mean, he hit 7 home runs in 7 games. Wow. I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago, over the last week or two. So 7 home runs in 7 games, just been torching it. Got hit with a pitch, sat a couple games, came back, hit another nuke over the fence. So that's a guy, man, if he makes it to the bigs, it's going to be a great story. He used to be – he was the number 13 prospect in all of baseball. And then just injuries. And that's just how it goes sometimes. And I still think he has a future in the MLB. He's on the Cubs 40-man. So I think if they decide, like if Seiya gets hurt or Ian Happ, if someone gets hurt and they're like, man, like Brennan's still hot, I think you call that bat up and you see what you can do at the MLB level because there's no harm in it. But I'm glad he's back all the way back up to number 22 on the Cubs prospect list, a deep Cubs list, mind you, right? The Cubs system when he was a top prospect was not what it is now. So I think being 22 is right there. I think if he continues this, he'll keep climbing back up. I don't know if he keeps this up into July. I would suspect he might even creep back into the top 100. He won't be like a 13th overall prospect, but I could see him in the 80s or 90s. So just that's basically everything that's happening on the farm.
Yeah, it's a lot harder to move up this list nowadays, like you were saying.
It is.
The competition in just the immediate organization is getting tough. But over to the White Sox, the only two players that I'm going to talk about right now, both homered today. And the first one I'll talk about is Colson Montgomery. 106 exit velocity for his 7th home run to right field. Love to see this guy pulling the ball. I think if you can keep his power going, that is what the White Sox are going to need. I have heard this stat before, and I don't have the correct numbers on it, but this is going back 5 to even 10 years. And when the White Sox homer, I think at least once or twice in a game, their chance of winning skyrockets. No matter what the score was or like when they homer, it's just if they homer in any given game, their chance of winning is astronomical. And it's kind of interesting because I thought this year was going to be a lot more small ball, you know, like get him on, get him over, get him in. I haven't seen that at all and haven't really seen any homers. But it's nice to see Colson Montgomery pick it back up a little bit. But I guess the more impressive home run
real
today.
Real quick.
Yeah.
You said his seventh home run.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. He's 21 years old.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure his first, like, 10 games, he only had, like, maybe one home run.
Yeah, that's pretty good power, because what you got June, July, August, September still, if he's in AAA. So, I mean, he can technically be a 20-plus homer guy in the minors, which is pretty good power for the minor league, especially at a young age.
And it's looking a lot more like he's going to stay down there this year, too. So, I'm going to be interested to see how he does the rest of the season, but a person that is going to get called back up is Luis Robert. He started in AAA today for his first game, first at bat, homers to upper deck, right field, opposite field.
Yeah, 352 feet, but yeah.
Probably not. It was probably 500.
That's what I saw. That's what I saw. 352 feet. That's what I saw.
That's still out in almost every ballpark. So
352?
To right field?
It's a pop fly in most stadiums.
In right field, it's gone. It's out of the ballpark in Yankee Stadium. So.
Yeah, Yankee Stadium, baby. Shit.
But, those are the two highlights, and they both happened today. So.
Well, you can't forget about your boy.
Who's that? I got a couple.
Noah Schultz had his first AA start.
Oh, yeah? I didn't even see that.
We have I'll just go through it. I have it pulled up. I just wanted to check because I know we talked about it last week.
Yeah.
He had a really good start, though. He had four innings pitched, only one hit, no walks, and five strikeouts.
I love seeing
which
no
is
walks.
Really good. Yeah, that's a big one for him because he had the walk bug.
Yeah.
I mean, that was really good from what I was seeing. I was like, oh, okay, girl, like you got it. one other thing is, what was it? Let's see. Like, when the fuck are they calling up Drew Thorpe?
I don't know.
No, seriously, he's in Double A with a 1.5 ERA, 9 games started, 48 innings pitched. He's given up 29 hits and 14 walks, which means his WHIP is a 0.9. He has 44 strikeouts.
Wow!
Like he's only given up 2 home runs in 48 innings. Like what are you doing? He's clearly too good for the level. He's got a sub 2 ERA through almost 50 innings.
Yeah, at least move him up and see what he does.
I mean, like,
in AAA.
Shit, dude, he's what? He's 20. How old is he? 23. So 20, Ben Brown's age. Get him up to AAA. Get him, see what he does, and then maybe call him up.
Yeah, we
what
need
him. What are you
him.
Doing, Wayne, on him?
I don't know what we're doing with Clevinger.
Where's he at? Is he still in the minors?
Clevinger?
Yeah.
No, he's been starting for us. I think he has 3 games under his belt already.
Oh, does he? Holy shit. I've been out of it.
Yeah. Let me pull up his stats real quick. They're not great.
I'm going to beat you to it.
You might.
I'm just a nerd. I just know where everything is. Yeah, he's terrible. He's got 4 games.
Speaking of call up, I just saw Nick Nastrini has not been doing well.
In AAA.
I was watching him. No, he's been called up. He's 0-4 with a 9.92 ERA.
Oof.
I think I was watching him pitch, and I think he has a lot of stuff to work on. His off speed is good, but has no command of it. So what happens when your off speed isn't working? You have to resort to your fastball. And his fastball is sitting at a prime 94 to 96 miles an hour, and it's pretty straight. It might have a little bit left to right action.
No cut,
guys,
no ride.
Guys tank off him. They hit him hard. And I don't know how many home runs he's given him, but it's A lot more than one. I'll say that.
Can I say something too? Nothing about prospects. I just have to bring it up.
Of course.
Andrew Benintendi, 491 OPS. Might be the worst in baseball to 185.
I think it is, actually. I'm going to look that
might
up.
Might actually be the worst in baseball. Like, that is fucking brutal.
He's been floating around like the worst in baseball for a while now, and he hasn't gotten any better. So,
yeah, our boy Brian Ramos is pretty close, but he's only has 43 at-bats, so he can turn that around pretty easily.
And his defense makes up for it, in my opinion. I think he's so solid at third base.
Corey Lee's looking good with a 725. Sorry, I'm just looking through the lineup now. I'm like so curious. I've not looked at like these roster moves at all.
I haven't heard much about Yoan Moncada right now, so it's looking like he's still going to be back around the All-Star break, which is pretty far away, honestly.
Kopech's doing blah. Fetty's doing Fetty things. Who's the other one in this? Who's the other one in this? Fluxen. Fluxen, the other one, who's like really... Oh, no, he's got a terrible fucking ERA. Jesus Christ. 5.69.
Oof. He's going. Benintendi, the worst OPS in baseball with 491. Who's right above him? Javi Baez.
Javi Baez or Tim Anderson? Oh.
Javi Baez. And then above him is actually Corbin Carroll. But Corbin Carroll doesn't usually hit for power anymore, I will say.
Did you want to take this time? What do we got here? How much time we got left? We have 8 minutes till we hit the hour mark. I don't know if that's right or wrong for my end. You want to look into some guys, like the Dylan Cease guys, a little bit and just see what they're doing? Now it's been 2 months into the season.
Yeah.
Just diving. So that was Samuel Zavala.
Speaking of Dylan Cease, though, he's almost at the strikeout leader.
Yeah, he's a dog, dude. He's
so good. I really miss him every single day.
I can't believe you guys wasted his talent like that.
Speaking of wasting talent, I mean, you were just talking about Drew Thorpe, and especially that trade. I mean, what are we? We're just keeping him down there for him to dominate in Double A.
Yeah, Drew Thorpe looks awesome. That's one off the list.
We got Jairo Arrieta.
All right, let's go with him first. Okay, Jairo Arrieta. What's overall stat line? Pretty fucking good. 2.77 ERA, 48 innings pitched. That strikeouts at 61 is insane. How many home runs? He gives up only 2 home runs. A lot of walks, though. A lot of walks. 24 walks in 48.2 innings. That's, what is that? It's a 4.5 walk through 9 rate. That's pretty high. How many hits has he given up? 33. So, I mean, if he can get his walks down, he's looking really good. Is he in Double A? Yeah, he's in Double A too. Shit. That's a really good stat line. I still think there's a lot of reliever risk here.
Could be. One of the other guys that was in that trade is Steven Wilson. We called him up pretty quickly. But currently he's on the 15-day injured list, surprisingly not. He's been in 21 games, got a win-loss record of 1-2, 2.84 ERA, and got 19 strikeouts and 19 innings with a whip of 1.26. So not terrible given the rest of the squad right now, but it doesn't help that he's on the injured list.
And then, man, Samuel Zavala has a really interesting stat line. Are you looking at him?
No.
So his average is 191, which is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then his on-base percentage is 307, which...
So he's taking his walks.
He's taking his walks relative to his batting average. But then the most interesting thing is his slugging, which is at 342. Which means he's at about 151 ISO, which is isolated power, which is the difference between your slugging and your batting average, which is pretty solid power, 150. If he was batting like 280, that would be like really solid. It looks like when he does hit, when he does make contact, he hits the ball hard. He's got 7 doubles, 2 home runs, or 7 doubles, 2 triples, and 4 home runs. But he's only 19. He's 19 in high A. That's a high level for a 19-year-old. Yeah. I say just gotta give him time. But is this his first? No, this is his, wow, this is his third. Wait, what? Holy shit. I just noticed this, too. He actually debuted in low A as a 17-year-old. Holy shit. That's actually really impressive.
Wow. I mean, I really hope that he's a catcher, right? Or outfielder?
Outfielder.
For some reason, I thought he was a catcher.
That's awesome. And then do you mind if I go into some prospects the Cubs traded away?
They traded away? Yeah, go on.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me pull up the Los Angeles Dodgers.
For some reason, side note, I don't know why, I thought he was a catcher, and that just made me want to check Maldonado's stat line. And his batting average is so bad that he's not even on the list for averages.
So he's probably not a qualified hitter. He's probably, what, got up 80 at-bats?
I think he had more than that.
I think to be on that, you have to be a qualified hitter, which means you need X amount of at-bats.
Which is that amount of at-bats consistently changing depending on how the games, regular players?
Okay. Well, it's just based on like games, like X games, X amount of plate appearances.
Okay.
So not at-bats, sorry. Plate appearances.
Well, I'm going to actually, I saw this one stat, Maldonado, so I'm going to look for that while you go into your cubbies.
All right, Jackson Ferris ranked as the number six Dodgers prospect, which is interesting. He is in high A. He's not doing too hot. he's young. He's only, what is he, 20? He's 20 years old. He's a big power lefty. High A right now, he's got a 5.59 ERA through 9 games started with 37 innings pitched. He's given up 38 hits, 21 walks in 37 innings. Sheesh. But then 44 strikeouts, which is pretty good. But he's given up a 2.59 average. I think his stock will probably dip a little bit if it continues. Let's see if I can do last 10 games. Has he been doing anything? Let's see, runs. Yeah, no, he's just been consistently giving up. His last three, he's given up. In his last three games, he's pitched 14 innings, and he's given up 11 runs, to put it in perspective. So it might just be a blip. Might not be anything serious. And then if I scroll all the way down, is he even in the top 30? So I hear Hope is all the way down at 20. And he started off pretty hot on the year. Yeah, I don't know how he's at 20 only. Oh, he's at low A as a 19-year-old. He's hitting .282, .378 on base percentage, and a .521 slug for an .899 OPS through 18 games. Only 71 at bats, but he's got 3 home runs and 8 doubles. So he's got some gap-to-gap power. He will probably, as he ages, grow into some more power. Yeah, that might hurt. Zahir Hope might hurt, but we have so many outfielding prospects. I honestly just don't give a shit. Like let's see, in our top 10 prospects, and I'm including PCA on this, we have 1, 2, 3, technically 4 with Alexandria. We have 4 guys with Alexander Canario. So
That is one thing I did hear about on the radio is that your guys' outfield depth is pretty solid as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But then you look at your middle infield depth and it's so weak.
Non-existent. Like, and it will be once Matt Shaw's ready, once James Triantos is ready. Even, you know, I guess Jefferson Rojas is a long ways away. He's only 19. Same as Fernando Cruz. Fernando Cruz is number 8 on our prospect list, which to me is fucking insane. He's 17 years old. There's not even stats on him. I don't even think he's stateside yet, which is insane. But he's the cousin of Starlin Castro.
Really?
Yeah. So that's like the connection. But like to be 17 years old, his ETA on MLB.com, the prospect, is 2029. I'll be 32. when he's expected to make his MLB debut. 30 fucking two. Or 31, technically. I'll be in my goddamn 30s. Like, I'm going to be, like, sitting there. I remember when I was in my mid-20s when I was talking about Fernando fucking Cruz. And then wow. Michael Arias at number 9, which he's just so fucking good. Oh, he must have got blown up recently because his ERA is up to a 3.75. What did he do? Yeah, he gave up 5 earned runs in 0.2 innings. But that's fine. You're going to have your blow-up games. Just keep the rest nice. But, man, he is just so fucking good. Get him up to AAA. And then Drew Gray, I'll get into Drew Gray real quick. He's got a 3.20 ERA through 8 starts, 25.1 innings. I wouldn't look at that. Like, he's going 3-4 innings in appearance. I wouldn't look at that as bad. He's coming off an injury, so they want to make sure he's all healthy and ready to roll. Or is he coming off an injury? Yeah, I think he's coming off an injury. They're just being careful with him because he's so young. He's only 21. But he's got 25.1 innings pitched, 17 hits. He's only given up 1 home run. But where he's getting fucking demolished is he's given up in 25.1 innings pitched. He's given up 25 walks. But then he struck out 32. So
that would be infuriating to me.
One walk per inning with a 1.66 whip. That's going to be worrisome. But command is one of those things that comes last with Tommy John. Or I don't know if he actually had Tommy John, but with injuries, usually the command's the thing that comes back last. So
yeah, because you're thinking about how you feel the entire time and not where the ball goes most of the time.
So when I go outside of my top 10, right, you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So guys that could be top 100 prospects, right? Actually, I'll just go outside the current top 100 prospects, okay? Guys that could be top 100 prospects. Just start counting. You ready?
I'm ready.
Fernando Cruz, shortstop. Drew Gray, left-handed pitcher. Pedro Ramirez, second base, third base. Drenichi Valdez, shortstop. Christian Hernandez, shortstop, second base. Brandon Birdsell, right-handed pitcher. I'm not going to include Brandon Davis, who's already there. And then is it Will Sanders or Jackson Wiggins? It's one of those two. I forgot which one. And then Nazir Mule. Remember that name. Nazir Mule. I'm telling you, this kid, dude, this kid is going to be fucking good. He was throwing 99 out of high school.
Wow.
And he was a two-way player, and he absolutely shit on the ball as a hitter, and they just made him a full-time pitcher. But that's 4 or 5 names right there, not even including guys in the lower levels or, like, you know, guys blow up all the time, like Moises Ballesteros was not known as a top guy in his class, but he's taken off. Aiden Sanchez was a guy who had some early success last year or 2 years ago, and he kind of fell off. But, so, I mean, this system's set. This system is set. But that's imagine all I had on the prospect.
Imagine having a tough day at school, like failed your algebra test, and then going out and having to face 99 miles an hour.
That would suck.
Getting McDonald's tonight. Sick of this shit.
You just failed geometry. You just failed your geometry exam, and then Nazir Mule comes up and pegs you in the back.
And then you just get pegged in the rib cage by 99.
It's that's the worst awesome. Day ever. Worst day
probably
ever.
Did happen to some poor bastard.
Some poor bastard. I was just about to say that. Poor bastard.
I know we were kind of all over the place towards the end of this podcast, which is fine. We're just
I got nerdy with it.
But I just found what I was looking for with this Maldonado stat line, and they compared him to Joey Bart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually comical, and I'm going to go through some of the stat line, and I just want to see your reaction. So the Giants DFA'd Joey Bart in March and traded him to the Pirates for a minor league pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And currently, Joey Bart is sitting at a 0.6 war, okay, while Maldonado was at minus 1.2 war. And he's only got 30 games. Joey Bart had 16 hits. Maldonado has 7. 4 home runs to Maldonado's 1 home run. 12 RBIs to Maldonado's 4 RBIs. And, of course, you got to talk about the batting average, 267 for Joey Bart. And Maldonado is at .083 and dropping every single for time his, you watch this guy.
For his OPS or on base?
That's his batting average.
Holy shit.
I know. His on-base percentage is a 135.
Holy shit. What's his slug?
His slugging is 131.
Holy shit, he's got a sub 300 OPS.
And the best part is, are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Joey Bart's OPS plus is 151. Okay? The Giants DFA'd him. 151 OPS plus. Maldonado's OPS plus is minus 23.
How is that possible? How are you... That means you're 123% worse than league average. That shouldn't even be possible.
That's why I'm like, how is, like, he does have 84 at bats. So you were right on the nose with him not contending for like that chart for MLB for the lowest batting average. But that's still a lot of at bats. I think I could do a better job of having a higher batting average than 84 at bats.
That literally means out of if you give him a 100 at bats, he's getting 8 hits.
And that's just offensive. I thought he was going to be a great defensive catcher too. Framing, not that great. Pass balls, I'm sure he's in the double digits, and I'm sure it should be more, but they're counting him as wild pitches. And I'd be interested to see how many runs have scored because of him. I mean, he hasn't been the defensive player that he was supposed to be, or even I don't even know if he's been a solid idol to look up to for Corey Lee, who's our prospect rookie that has been thrown into this position. Side note on Corey Lee, I think his pop time is below a 1.9, which is unreal.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and it's something Maldonado will never achieve.
You know, I once had a pop time of 2.1 when I catched a game in high school. But I will say the coach that was using the stopwatch had
a fat finger.
He had slow thumbs. So you know, started a little late on that timer. You know?
I think he started a little bit early. I think
2.1.
Yeah, that's a little fast for you.
No, I know. That's what I was saying. He started the timer after I already threw the ball. Took 2 seconds just for me to fucking stand up.
Well, it's still better than Maldonado. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because it's just like, it's so laughable that it's like some teams are willing to give away solid talent like this. And, or, yeah, I'll go with solid talent. And then the White Sox still try to force Maldonado into these games. Like, I would have gotten rid of him long ago, 40 at bats ago.
Yeah, they're cheap. They won't. He's getting paid what? What are we talking about? 3.5 or 4.5 mil?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stupid.
Dumb. But anyways, that, I think that should be it for this episode 14. Not looking amazing for either team at the moment, but, you never know what could happen. It's baseball. We'll have to see what these teams can do in this following week. Who are they playing this week? Who are the Cubs? Go look up what the Cubs' schedule looks like this next upcoming week.
Sure.
I know the White Sox. They get an off day tomorrow, and then they play Milwaukee this weekend. Off day on Monday, and then the Crosstown Classic next week at Wrigley. Ooh, for two games. I'll be there. Two night games.
I'll be there, and you better be there too, son.
I am going to try my hardest to be there. I got school and work and a lot of other things, but I'm going to try to get there because then after that, there's 4 home games against Boston. For the White Sox following the Crosstown Classic. So
You know, fun fact, two years ago now? What's it? Two years ago, I went to the Cubs-Boston series at Wrigley. And it was like a – it felt like a playoff game. The Cubs sucked that year, 2022. And it was really fun because David Robertson actually closed the game out. And I think it was a 3-1 win. And a couple weeks later, he actually got traded for Ben Brown. Small world.
That is a small world. Full circle, really.
Full circle. Exactly.
So who are the Cubs playing?
The Cubs have Milwaukee tomorrow. Hopefully we can – oh, wait, no, sorry. They have Milwaukee today, or I guess Wednesday and Thursday. Then they have Cincy for the weekend slate. And then the Crosstown Classic. And then Cincy again. So a lot of interleague play here. Not interleague, but interdivision play here. So the Reds have not been doing too hot. So hopefully we can pick up a couple of series wins there, sweep the White Sox, and we're right back on track. Because after that, we got some tough teams. You got Tampa Bay, St. Louis, San Francisco, the Mets, San Francisco again, Milwaukee. So if we're going to win, now's the time to fucking do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not do or die, but it's do or die. You know what I mean? So
At the very minimum, it's get a nice base so that we can survive through June.
Yeah.
The schedule does not get easy. September's a cakewalk. Not a cakewalk, but it's definitely the easiest portion of our schedule.
Yeah.
Because we got Washington, Pittsburgh, New York, Yankees, Dodgers, but then it's Colorado, Oakland, Washington, Philly, Cincy. So,
yeah. This is definitely the time to steal some games. And
got to do it. Good teams win in
the regular
season.
Are actually outside of the wild card right now by a game and a half, or maybe just a game now.
Yeah, I'll worry about that in August.
Right. But, I just want to keep that on the burner for you. Just make you worried a little bit.
No, please don't. I worry enough, but I've already been on my Cubs ban, so I'm on Cubs strike.
Yeah, Connor's actually not allowed to watch any of the Cubs games unless they're winning by five.
I originally said they have to score 5-plus runs, but I don't count today because it went into extras. So.
Yeah, good luck scoring five runs.
I did watch the game today when I found out Ben Brown was throwing a no-no just to watch him get pulled right away. So, yeah,
right away.
Literally did not watch a pitch of him. So I was
thanks for listening. If you're still here to us just having our weekly conversation about baseball, this is definitely getting, even though it's tough to talk about sometimes, definitely getting more fun for me. But I think since Connor is coming back to Chicago this next week, we'll probably postpone the next episode until he gets back.
Or you can solo it. You can solo it. See how
maybe.
You do.
Maybe. Maybe we'll solo it. Maybe we'll have a special guest. We'll see how... I do want to wait until at least after the Crosstown Classic to see how that plays out in Wrigley. Don't anticipate it until probably after the 5th, that Wednesday. But again, thanks for listening and tune in for the next episode.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.